RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next great camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Outdoorsy, the largest and most trusted rental marketplace. Outdoorsy is making it safe and easy to make money renting your RV with full insurance, roadside assistance, secure payments, and real people ratings and reviews. Visit Outdoorsy.co to find a cool RV to rent or see how much money you can earn renting your own RV.
And by Campgrounds of America. To find out what's behind the yellow sign, visit KOA.com or download the free KOA app today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about something that is becoming more and more common in RV culture, the park model.
So we invited Amy Duthie, Senior Director of Product Development for Jayco, onto the show to talk about her experiences in the park model market. She has seen the growth of this RV segment, and her team has responded by developing the bungalow line of park models for a wider range of consumers. She'll tell us who's buying these trailers and what sets them apart from other RVs.
You might think park models are only for retirees that have put away their traveling shoes, but we know that they might be the way for busy families to actually find their way to the campground. You are listening to episode number 150, The Rise of the Park Model.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, the rise of the park model, it's time for our RV News Minute, which is sponsored by Outdoorsy.
Outdoorsy is the largest and most trusted RV rental marketplace, and they are making it easy to make a little more scratch renting out your RV. You have a lot of options out there for renting your RV, but Outdoorsy is different. They have things that set them apart from every single option out there. So you ready for your test, Jer? What are they?
The $1 million insurance policy.
That's our favorite feature that Outdoorsy offers. They are the only ones
in
this space.
Well, I didn't say it was my favorite. Oh. My favorite's the DMV background check.
Like that. You want to know who's driving
that. I want to make sure who's driving that thing out of my driveway.
That's true. That's good. But seriously, the insurance one is a big one because, and there's a couple of reasons for this. Many other options that you have for renting out your RV, you have two things you can do. You can either put that renter on your own insurance, and a lot of insurance companies will drop you for that. They'll say, oh, no, we're not going to cover your RV if you're renting it out.
They'll drop kick you.
Yeah, they'll say, goodbye, you're renting out your RV. The other option is to tell your renter, oh, you have to get a rider on your insurance. And then the person goes and they try to get a rider, and their insurance says, oh, well, it will cost this much. They say, oh, that's too much, we're not going to do it. Or they say, nope, sorry, we're not going to give you a rider for renting an RV. So really, you might not realize how complicated it can be to deal with the insurance side of things.
And Outdoorsy deal with
has
it for
figured
you.
That out. They are the only ones out there that have figured that out. So you are completely covered under that $1 million liability insurance policy. So, you like the background checks. I like the insurance policy, but I also like the fact that they're really trying to create a community of owner support and making this the most pleasant experience possible for both owners and rentals. I think it does set them apart. So
absolutely.
All right, visit Outdoorsy.co.
When we buy our second RV, I'll rent it with Outdoorsy.
I know you are. We'll visit Outdoorsy.
I'd rent my current one with Outdoorsy. We're just using it too much at the moment.
There's no time to be renting that out. We're one of those high usage people. So Outdoorsy.co/list rent-your-RV, and that's going to have all of those sort of FAQs for you if you want to learn more.
Are you ready for the RV News Minute?
Of course they are.
Okay. So Secretary Ryan Zinke of the Department of the Interior recently addressed the committee week for the RVIA, the Recreation Vehicle Industry Association, and he announced that currently he is seeking to create more public-private partnerships with national park campgrounds and private vendors. All right, so to quote from Zinke, as a secretary, I don't want to be in the business of running campgrounds. My folks will never be as good as you are on it, end unquote. Remember, he's addressing the outdoor industry, not just RVIA.
They like that.
Well, people, like, oh, I mean, yeah. Honestly, people from KOA are in the audience, people from the campground industry are in the audience. He goes on to say, we need to make sure we are wearing the right uniform, make sure the bathrooms are clean, and make sure we find the best talent to deliver services. We should be your interpretive guides. We should be the managers of the forest, those types of things. But when it comes to running our campgrounds, we should get the very best, and that's you. Again, the private industry that he wants to pull into this. We are going to have more public-private partnerships soon because I think that's where the industry should be going. And the major impulse behind this movement is that there is an $11 billion backlog, maintenance backlog, in the National Park Service, and a lot of that has to do with the campgrounds. So in other words, the campgrounds are not making enough money to take care of themselves, mm-hmm. right? Now, this is controversial. And just to give you sort of both sides here, so conservationists are lining up against this. And the fear is that the national park campgrounds will become Disney-fied or like Disney World or too much about selling things and products and services. And they won't be those beautiful, simple national park campgrounds that so many people love. Now, on the other side, the recreation industry broadly, which includes the RV industry, is lining up in favor of this. And this is largely because these NPS campgrounds, a lot of them were built in the Eisenhower era, and they cannot accommodate the larger RVs that are being built today. There are not 50-amp hookups. There's not really 30-amp hookups. Sometimes there's no electricity at all. Probably more often than not, there's no hookups. And there certainly are not spaces at most of these NPS campgrounds that are big enough for today's big rigs. So two sides to the story. I think it's going to be interesting to watch and interesting to see where this goes. And some of you may not realize out there, but there are already in place many private public partnerships between the NPS and vendors already.
I think that that's an important point to really dwell on for a minute. This is not as revolutionary as it may sound to some people, because we know that many campgrounds and many other things within national parks are run by what we call concessionaires. And the park takes bids, right, for different things, like even running the food services within a park.
And if that can be a Glacier, a Yellowstone, at Grand Canyon.
Most of
and
them
some
at this
of the
point.
NPS campgrounds in those very locations I just mentioned are actually managed by private vendors, and a lot of people don't even realize that when they're staying there.
Right. We have we've reviewed them on Campground of the Week. The Grand Canyon one is a concessionaire. The Yellowstone one is a concessionaire.
Fishing Bridge, whichever one it is. The one at the Grand Tetons.
Yosemite has the concessionaires running. So this is really not we have in place sort of a model for what this might look like. The issue really here is that I think people, you know, it is impacting the RV industry because people do buy certain RVs because of national park limitations, right? Not all people, but some people do. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are saying that, like, we need to update this, but the money is not there to update.
Also, there
this.
Are people that buy 40-foot motorhomes who just never camp in National Park
right.
Service campgrounds. They don't even look. They don't even try because they can't fit in there.
Yeah.
Now we've
and most people with a pop-up would say, well, serves you right.
Well, most right? Yeah, somebody in a pop-up is going to be like, yeah, that's yeah. no problem
yeah,
for me, right?
Fine.
So we've seen this at play because we have camped at National Park Service campgrounds. And Stephanie and I think it's fair to say, I don't want to speak for you, Stephanie, but I think we are often surprised that you can't like buy a gallon of milk in a National Park Service campground. You have to leave the campground sometimes to get even firewood. Mm-hmm. And that's, to some degree, that's very intentional because they want the local community to make money. But to another degree, it's mildly frustrating, right? It's like you could be selling some basic necessities that would help you, you know, pay for the campground and pay for repairs at the campground. campground.
As do the many state parks. I mean, yeah. If you only have to visit, I know that many people love the Missouri State Park system. And on our, you know, Campground of the Week, we've had Carrie Cox raving about that. But we've had that sort of experience with the South Carolina State Parks system. The South Carolina State Park system is extremely well run.
And they have nice camp stores.
And they have
they
nice
sell
camp stores.
But you can go in and get a cold drink
right.
at the camp store. We've literally been to National Park Service campgrounds where you cannot go buy a bottle of water. You have to leave the campground to do something like
that. Recently on Campground of the Week, we had Tatiana Coppinger reviewing a New York State campground, and she was saying that New York State is just pouring money back into their campgrounds. They just opened up these brand new cabins that are going to be open year-round, and they just repaved the roads.
And they're probably profit generators.
So exactly. So clearly, I feel like there is a model in place for this public-private sort of
it seems like a middle way might be
mm-hmm.
best. Where,
exactly.
You know, you can privatize them, but you have to implement rules where they can't make it look like Disney World. I mean, they can't make it overly commercialized
right.
because then it kills what so many people love about them. And it seems like that's what they've done with the existing partnerships. Because like I said, you can go to some of those campgrounds that are run by concessions and they have the same colored signs as the rest of the national park. They look and feel like the rest of the national parks. So we'll see where this goes.
The big issue right now in the camping, you know, world, in the RV industry world, we wanted to bring that issue to your attention. We'd love to hear your thoughts on it, your opinions on it over on our Facebook group, RVFTA, the group.
But stay civil.
Of course.
Don't get cranky.
Just like we just were.
A little zap ya.
We're modeling. Good behavior for you. All right, you guys. So on today's episode, we've got a really fun episode that's kind of been in development for a little while now because we attend a lot of RV shows, as you all know. And let me tell you, there are more and more park models these days at these RV shows. And the park models have become a little prettier, a little hipper.
Well, we walk in and we're wowed by them. And hipper is key, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, they're affordable and they're gorgeous. It's such a great way to have that second home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's quite a lot different than buying an RV you're going to take from campground to campground. Might be a great option for some of the families out there listening though.
Now, we've covered seasonal camping because that is a trend in the camping industry. More and more, we are busy people. We have trouble getting away as much as we like to, but seasonal camping is a great way to spend more time at the campground for a lot of folks. Now, here's the other side of that seasonal camping. A park model is a way where many people can be more comfortable at their seasonal spot at a campground. So we really wanted to kind of explore this type of RV a little more.
And you can go camping more. Because it's set up there already and you're paying that one price for the season, you get more days of camping in. It's just all
and
at the same place.
And less work because it's there. Everything's set up. You're fully stocked. You're hooked up. You're good to go. So what we did was we invited Amy Duthie from Jayco onto the
show. Third time on the show.
It is. It's a record. Okay.
I mean, you and I have been on the show more than that.
She is actually in charge of the design for the bungalow, which is Jayco's park model line. So he said, Amy, would you come on and talk about park models in general? And then we'll also kind of dive more into the specifics in the second segment with her, where she'll talk about the features and the floor plans and everything that are available out there at some pretty reasonable price points.
And she surprised me about a lot of things. I've learned a lot of things about park models I didn't know. There's a lot to learn. It's quite a bit different. So stay tuned and you'll learn all those things too. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to be here with Amy Duthie, the Senior Director of Product Development for J-Flight Travel Trailers and a friend of the show on for the third time. It's a new record, Amy. Congratulations
well,
and welcome back
Amy.
On the show.
I love it. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here, too.
Yeah, you can put that on a plaque outside your door if you want. We can arrange something like that.
I think we're
like
supposed
that.
To send the plaque, Stephanie.
I think I will. I might email it and put it on a plaque and maybe remind people of that.
All right.
Time.
Well,
no, I'm proud to be back.
Well, another thing that you should be proud of also is we always like to point out to people that you are the product director for the J-Flight travel trailer line, which has been the best-selling travel trailer in America for a really long time, right? How many years do you have now on that?
We are just starting our 12th year, so it's very exciting.
Do you kind of like, do you wear a sign that says that around the office, like kind of just showing off to the other product managers?
I may pull it out from time to time when necessary.
Are you upset that we bought an Octane and not a J-Flight? I mean, is there any personal tension we need to cover here, go over?
No, not at all. I'm thrilled. I've seen some pictures on social media of you with your Octane. I love it. So no, not, yeah. no.
All right,
no hard feelings at all.
All right, good. We wanted to clear the air.
No.
All right. Well, now you are on the show today because we really wanted to dive in to a trend that we've seen emerging in the RV lifestyle. And that is, so we see a growth in the park model division of RVs. In fact, to the extent that we see more and more being shown at RV shows that we go to, and it keeps coming up, you know, online in different places and social media. And every time we bring it up, we have audience members that say to us, wait, what's a park model? What are you talking about
and
here?
And of course, we see a lot of interest in seasonal camping.
Yeah.
There's certainly a link between the two. So, Amy, why don't you get us started broadly by just talking about the difference between a park model and a more traditional travel trailer?
Okay. Well, a park model from the outside is going to look a little bit different, has more of an atrium-style front end. So it looks like something you would set up more on a residential campsite. And folks are looking at something like that. There's some different amenities. For example, your refrigerator, where in your traditional RV may be a gas electric refrigerator that you can use that it can be operating while you're driving down the road. It's more set for occasional use. In a park model, you're going to have more of a residential type refrigerator, something like you would see at home. It's set up for use all the time there, if that makes sense. So we're looking at some of those things that are different.
Absolutely makes sense. I mean, you're not going to take a park model dry camping or out into the middle of a state forest, probably, right? I mean, you're bringing it somewhere,
right,
and you're keeping it there for a while.
Exactly, exactly.
So they're really designed assuming that you are going to be hooked into shore power at all times?
Yes, they are. Now, you still have the ability. They are self-contained. So what we mean by self-contained is they still have holding tanks. You could still operate them in the way you do a travel trailer, but these are almost 41 feet long. So they're a lot longer. They're not designed to be towed every single weekend like that, but you could. I mean, if someone wanted to set it up off the grid somewhere and have a fully self-contained unit, they certainly could do that. But we look at some of the other things, knowing that most customers are not using them in that manner. So that's why we're putting in more of the residential type refrigerators and a freestanding range that looks more like what you would have at home with your range and oven, because it's being used in that fashion.
Okay, so that's really helpful to know then that you can use these off-grid. If you wanted a more residential campsite that was really tucked away in the middle of nowhere, it's not that you can't use propane with it. It's just that they're sort of designed knowing that most users will be hooked up.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, good. Now, what other kind of features are different than the traditional travel trailer? You mentioned like an atrium style. I'm assuming that has to do with height. Am I right on that? Okay.
It is. I didn't clarify it when I first said that. So when you look at the outside, it has more, a travel trailer has a more aerodynamic front end. Of course, that's because it's designed for towing. When I mean atrium style, looks more like a front wall. It's more straight up and down, has some different exterior lighting on it, so it would be more for your campsite where you have it set up all the time. But they are bigger. So, for example, a conventional travel trailer on the inside is going to be around 81 inches tall. At least that's what the J-Flights are. These would be 96 inches tall inside. So they're a lot taller. The slide rooms are taller inside. And then these are what we call wide bodies. So the exterior width is 102 inches, and a conventional travel trailer is going to be 96. So they're bigger, they're wider, and they're taller.
Exactly as wide as our toy hauler, as a matter of fact.
Oh, perfect.
And it's wider. We're noticing that.
It is wider.
Now, perfect. Is the construction of a typical park model any different than the other ones that you would have in your travel trailer line? In terms of, you know, we know you make travel trailers, what do they say? So they could, like, withstand, like, basically the hurricane and, you know, earthquake mm-hmm. forces as they go down the road. Are there things that you do differently in the construction of the park model because you don't have to worry about it moving around so much?
There's a few things we do differently. Your basic construction is still going to be the same. So when we talk about the Jayco products and having the strongest frame foundation, and you talk about, you know, I-beam frames, it still has an I-beam frame on it. We still use, you know, 5/8-inch floor decking. The sidewalls are all still wood frame. The roof is still crowned roof. If anybody's familiar with our products or wants to watch a really neat video on our website, we have what's called a Magnum Truss roof. We believe we have the strongest roof structure in the industry. We still have that on the bungalow. A couple things that would be different, though. One is the hitch. So when you're setting up a travel trailer that you're pulling, you know, from place to place, we have an integrated A-frame on the hitch. Well, on the bungalow, what's different than our conventional J-flights is we call it a detachable hitch. So when you're setting it up on a permanent site, you don't need it. You need that hitch to get it from point A to point B, but then it's fully removable, so you don't have that on the exterior of the unit anymore.
You just taught us something, Brian.
I know.
Stephanie's jaw just dropped.
I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that. Now I'm going to be looking at that at Park Models.
Makes all the sense in the world.
Right, of course.
Right.
All right.
All right, so who is buying these, and where do they live geographically? Is this are there hot spots for this?
There are some. I mean, it used to be years ago, you would see it kind of the upper Midwest area on, you know, where a lot of the lakes are. Down along the coast, on the eastern half of the United States, you would see more. But now it's interesting. You see them cropping up all over. As you said, that market is growing. And I think consumers are realizing that camping is a great lifestyle. It's a great lifestyle for a family, whatever stage of life that you're in, whether you have young kids, you're retired, or somewhere in the middle. It's a great lifestyle, and some folks realize, hey, I can do this. I can go and I can park this somewhere. We have a place to go to. I don't necessarily have a tow vehicle, so this is something they can get away and they can go to. So people are realizing that it's another entry and another way to get into the RV lifestyle, maybe with a little less of a complication of needing a separate tow vehicle. So we've seen the demographic evolve. I think at one point in time, if you and I had talked a number of years ago, I would have said it's retirees, folks that are going down to Florida in the year, you know, for a seasonal site. But really, we're seeing it evolve so much more now. I had an email from a consumer yesterday asking about buying one, you know, a younger individual that just wanted something to be able to go to occasionally, you know, stressful job, stressful life, didn't have a, you know, lives in a urban area with a small vehicle, wants someplace to go. So we see all sorts of different uses for them.
Now, just to clarify a couple of things, you keep saying you don't need a tow vehicle for this. So I guess they can be delivered, correct?
Let's talk logistics,
let's talk about
right?
That.
So I think that there's probably some people listening right now that are thinking after what you just said, oh, this is an affordable lake house, right? Like that idea, I don't need to necessarily buy another house to get that
or
experience.
Or a $40,000 or $50,000 truck.
Right, of getting away from my stressful job on the weekends and everything. So if there's people listening that are like, okay, this is interesting, let's talk logistics. If they want to buy a park model, like what are they going to have to worry about in terms of towing and setting it up and like even maintaining it, right? Like when something goes wrong with RV, if we would need something worked on under the warranty, we bring it to the dealer and have it worked on. Like, can you tell our listeners how that all works with a park model?
Sure. A lot of the dealers, certainly things can be delivered for a fee, of course, but you could work that into a sale. You work with your dealer. A lot of times they will bring this and set it up on your site for you. Now, each dealer is different with how far their reach for delivery is, but that's something, too, if you're looking for a dealer, Jayco can help you locate somebody as well. But they'll deliver it and set it up for you. And a lot of consumers, I didn't touch on this earlier, when they set these up permanently, I mentioned they're taking the hitch off, they're using that detachable hitch. A lot of customers are adding on more of a permanent style deck, like what you would have at home, or a screen room to really allow them to use the inside space and the outside space. So it is difficult once that's done to move that unit again. Part of our warranty is on the Jayco has a 2-year limited warranty, and one of the things in there, because we know that these are being set up on a semi-permanent basis, so to the original owner, as part of the warranty, the first 3 service calls, we will pay for someone to come out and service your unit. Now, usually that's within a one-hour travel time of your dealership or a service center, so that's something that Jayco can work through with you, but they do have a provision in there for the first couple of years to allow it to do that. Now, after that, if you're storing it in the winter, perhaps it's service that you could do, you know, in the off season, kind of work through some of those details. From a maintenance standpoint, it's very similar to a travel trailer where, you know, checking your seals and, you know, your general maintenance that you're doing on any other travel trailer.
That's very reassuring, though, because you get those first three visits, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And again, you taught us something new there. And then at a certain point, you know, 2 years, that limited warranty is going to run out. And then hopefully you'd have a mobile RV person that would come to mm-hmm. your seasonal site as opposed to, you know, removing the deck and towing the park model back into
exactly.
the trailer.
Which a lot of these campgrounds that we've stayed at that have more of a seasonal population, they have mobile RV, you know, professionals mm-hmm. that they're hooked up with that they'll give you
or
the number.
On site.
Yeah, exactly. Or somebody on site, which is nice. I'm already so glad we're doing this episode because I'm learning things. So I know our listeners are too, because I was really like, wait a minute, how does that work? Now, before we move on, I want to ask one more question based on something you said. If I remember correctly, when we talked a few months back about park models, Amy, you said that you were making some changes in the construction based on the fact that people built those decks and everything and kind of where they were placing that. Could you refresh my memory?
Yes, I can. So the bungalow went through a complete transformation 3 years ago. We redesigned the entire series. And, you know, myself and the team, you know, we deal a lot with J-Flight. We said, look, we can't look at this as a big J-Flight, right? Folks are setting these up on permanent sites. They may want some things differently. And one of the things that we looked at was the appliances. And when I say appliances, I'm not talking about refrigerators or cooking appliances, but water heaters and furnaces. Some of these things that, if any RVer knows, some of these things vent to the outside and they create a little bit of heat. So we didn't necessarily want a water heater venting right by the entry door, which would be on your deck space. So we tried to locate, in as many cases as we can, all of those appliances vent to what we refer to as the off-door side or your off-campsite side, and so they don't hinder that living space there. So we've tried really hard to do that. We've also designed things, if a customer wanted to, they have an RV toilet in them now. It's a foot flush porcelain RV toilet, but some customers set these up and they say, you know, I'm not going to use the holding tanks. I'm going to be set up. I really want a house type, you know, residential type toilet in here. So when we designed them, we looked at that location and we plumbed all of our units so that these by a dealer could be taken out and they could put a house type toilet in there without a lot of extra work needing to be done. So we've tried to design it more with that residential appeal. And then, of course, on decor and some of those things, you know, residential type cabinetry, more crown molding. So you see a little bit more of that in the bungalow series than you do in the J-Flight.
Now, the RV industry loves to throw around the word residential, and I think really for, you know, for park models and maybe fifth wheels as well, it actually is a really fitting term because when you mm-hmm. walk into one of these park models, you feel like you're in a vacation home or a cabin or something like that. You don't as much feel like you're in a travel trailer.
Right. Thank you.
She's like, score.
That's our goal. We hope so.
Stephanie and I walk into these at the shows now, and we're floored. We're floored by the amount of space and the price, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Right, we'll talk about that a little bit more in the next segment. But, you know, I have to be honest because we haven't really been tracking park models over the course of a lot of years. I'm kind of wondering where they've come from, right? Like, you've been in the industry for a long time. Do park models today look anything like they used to, you know, or is this kind of been a slow and steady move away from like trailer to lake house, you know, like, or what kinds of major differences do you see now than maybe 10 years ago in these park models?
I think some of it's the decor. It also get, you know, the decor and the way they look, you know, we've started as an industry to recognize that we can do some things differently. We can give them more residential appeal, more residential touches to them. Then we don't have to build giant travel trailers. Not that the travel trailers are not residential, but there's a difference in, I think, what you're looking for when you're looking for a camper you're going to use on the weekend versus something you're going to use on a seasonal basis. And you try to make storage more user-friendly. The tiny house movement has done a lot to draw more attention to a product like Bungalow. So we listen to what consumers are looking for. So we're trying to give them more of those touches. And you still can add extra LED lighting and more of these residential touches and be very smart about your design of storage for these things. So it's really the industry and how people are camping has really helped us drive that product forward and make some of those changes.
Now, you mentioned the sort of the tiny home movement, which is so huge right now. In a sense, is that pushing you to make smaller park models where in so many other segments of the industry things seem to just get bigger and bigger? I mean, is there pressure on you to make smaller units in the park model lineup?
We haven't had a whole lot of requests for that. Now, our segment of buyers for the conventional J-Flight travel trailers, we're seeing a lot of folks look at those in that 34 to 38-foot range. Now, again, you know, those are the 96-inch wide. They're a little bit shorter, but that gives them the option to possibly tow those. So we see customers that are towing those or setting them up, but we haven't had the request really for a smaller bungalow yet.
All right. Well, we'll see as those millennials decide that they're sick of van life and they want a nice park model near work. We'll see if that ends up rolling in those requests. All right, Amy, thank you so much for that initial segment, really helping us to understand more of the park model trend and what we're looking at when we look at park models at RV shows and what our listeners need to think about if they're transferring into a park model, you know, from a traditional travel trailer. We are going to be back in a minute and we're going to dive into the specifics of the bungalow, which you are the senior director for product development for, and you're going to talk about the Jayco options that are available in the park model segment. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here again with Amy Duthy, the Senior Director of Product Development for J-Flight Travel Trailers and a friend of the show. And she just gave us a great overview of park models. And now we want to dive in and talk about Jayco's park models in particular. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. If you are ordering your new Jayco RV, you should seriously consider adding on the Santacon Turbo, which is Thetford's new waste evacuation system, and it's exclusive to Jayco.
We have it set up on our new Octane and love the way it eliminates having to store, unpack, and set up our sewer hookups. I wasn't sure I was going to love it, but then Stephanie convinced me it's much easier.
I don't have to see any sewer lines
anymore. And she likes to go back there and use it herself.
I don't like to, but I will.
Oh, you like some quiet time back with the Santacon Turbo. So the Santacon Turbo is permanently installed and ready to go. There are no connections, so there are no leaks, and it can even pump uphill.
Which we should try sometime.
Well, we don't recommend camping on such a slant. Okay, but if you get stuck there, it'll work.
You can do it.
Visit Thetford.com to see a complete lineup of products. So, Amy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
All right, so now we're going to dive into the Bungalow J-Flight line. And this is the line of RVs within your J-Flight line that are the park models. They're all called bungalows, but you have a range of different floor plans. So can you just give us an idea of the range of sizes and MSRP within the bungalow series?
I sure can. So size-wise, they're very similar in size. They range from 40 feet 11 inches on up to 42 feet. So they're very close in size. They have anywhere from 2 to 4 slides, depending on the floor plan. So we have some models with bunkhouse, so second bedrooms. We have one with a flexible second bedroom that could perhaps be used as an office. So we have a lot of different variety within the floor plans. There are 6 different models. And they range in an MSRP base price anywhere from about $43,000 to $47,000.
And I have to say, I mean, you're getting a lot for that price. I mean, are you getting a lot of space for that price for one thing?
Every time we see the price tag on one of these, when we walk
in,
we're kind of like,
that's
doable.
And at the Florida RV Super Show, we were in the loft, right? And we kind of we spent some time in that one, and people were walking in and out. And everyone was looking at the price going, oh. okay.
I could get this like, for I that.
Could,
yeah.
Maybe I could do this, right? So it seems like the price is very comparable to looking at a fifth wheel or even a lower-end fifth wheel, for goodness sake.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. And there's a lot of options, you know, flexibility that you could do within that. But, yes, that loft has been a very exciting floor plan for us. We just introduced that last summer, and it's done very, very well.
Yeah, okay, so it has. So who is buying that loft? Is it mostly grandparents who have kids coming to visit every once in a while, or do you see families actually going for that model?
We see families. We see you know, older couples that are having company that come and stay with them, or maybe they don't want any company and they want a lot of storage space. So there's definitely a lot of uses for that second bedroom area. So, you know, just so everybody understands too, that loft gives you a second bedroom or an upstairs area above the master bedroom, and it's 36 inches tall. So it's a little bit shorter, but there's windows up there, so it's really nice and open. So you could have guests stay there. You could have extra items that you store, you know, off-season clothes, if you know, pets, what you know, whatever you can use.
Well, that's a doggy loft.
But for the grandkids, though, that shorter height, mm-hmm. it's almost like a clubhouse or a treehouse or something.
Our boys love
and
that, Mom. Yeah,
they loved it. And what I thought was so cool about it is say that you were, you know, grandparents and you want to have the grandkids come to the seasonal site mm-hmm. a couple times a year. Like, you almost don't notice that room's there. It's not like it takes up significant floor plan space because it's at the top. It's above everything else. So it's kind of subtle, kind of tucked away a little bit.
It is. And you really don't lose a lot of, as you said, you don't lose a lot of storage space or floor space because of the stairs, because they are tucked out of the way. They're behind the bathroom. You really don't, like as you said, you don't notice that they're there.
Now, you do also have a full bunkhouse model, which is the 40BHQS, and that has actually an additional half bath, right, in the bunkhouse
yes,
for the
does.
Kids.
So it
that
does.
Must be a popular model for families right now.
It sure is. I mean, that's one of the ones that has four slides, and it does. I mean, it gives you a wide open second bedroom because it has two slide outs back there. And that second bath, you're exactly right. I mean, it gives them their own space or your guests their own space.
And the bunkhouse has two slides, so there's just
a ton of floor space
in the bunkhouse.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, Amy, there are features in the bungalow that are not in all of the other J-Flight travel trailers. Just what are some of those things that you're going to see in the bungalow line that you're not going to see in the others?
We touched a little bit earlier on kitchen appliances. Just to recap that, you have residential electric refrigerators, so they're more of a house-style refrigerator. You have a freestanding oven and range, so it'll look more like what you have at home. But also in that kitchen area, one thing we have is a central vacuum. I don't know if I showed this to you when you were at the show, but it's located in the center of the unit, so it's tucked away in a cabinet, and you can pull out a vacuum, and it will reach to both ends of the coach. If you have a deck or a screen room, it'll actually reach outside a little bit, so it's a hose that's attached. And it's if anybody's camped before and they've ever used the central vacuum system, you know, sometimes getting that hose back in its spot can be a little tricky. This is self-retracting. So it's really easy. You use it. You have a button you push and the whole hose comes back in. So it's wonderful, really convenient.
You said self-retracting, like that was a real point of pride for you. You don't have to answer this question, but I'm almost wondering if that was your idea.
It was not, okay. But let me tell you, I'm very experienced with vacuuming up messes. I have three kids. So, I mean, I get a little excited about the opportunity to clean up a mess and have it be easy to do. So,
oh, I say
that
vacuuming.
May have been a little more personal
I always
statement.
Say vacuuming is the most rewarding chore you can do in the house because, like, yeah. It just, like, okay, with a little effort, everything looks so much better. And when you have kids,
exactly.
You understand that. So I'm on the
exactly.
Same page.
Or should, pets. We have three pets, too. So believe me, messes are common for me. But other standard features, these all have a fireplace that's standard, so it's really nice, nice cozy fireplace. They all have standard LED TVs, so you don't have to go and buy your own TV. So there's a little bit more residential, standard residential appliances and features in these.
Now, I also noticed king beds, right, in all of the floor plans.
It's an option in all of them.
Okay.
It's pretty high take rate. We build a lot of them with king beds, but you can still certainly do a queen if you would prefer.
Oh, my gosh. With the option of a king, I don't know a lot of people that would go with the queen.
Any other any other options that people can order if they want?
Yes, they can. They can also – these have a standard laminate countertop. You have an option for a solid surface countertop. that you could do. So you're seeing so much more Corian and granite in homes. This is an LG countertop that's a solid surface, real smooth finish to it. You can also upgrade from black appliances to stainless steel appliances in the kitchen. So that's another nice feature that you can tack onto these as well. They're standard with the metal sidewalls that you see on the J-Flight. But you can also upgrade to a fiberglass exterior skin if you would prefer that as well.
Yeah, we like our fiberglass exterior.
We do.
That's right. You did get a fiberglass.
Yes, we do like our fiberglass exterior. Okay, so we want to now, because we always are interested in your buyer. What is the best-selling floor plan for your bungalows?
So I mentioned that the loft, the 40 loft, is a new one that's been very popular, but one that has been a home run since we started with the bungalow is the 40 RLTS. It's a three-slide rear living room floor plan with an island kitchen. It has a big 60-inch walk-in shower. It's washer-dryer prep, so you could put a stackable washer-dryer unit in it. So it's a beautiful floor plan when you see it, but it's just a great livable space.
And
it's also
on point with the big open concept, really.
Mm-hmm.
Combining
it really
the kitchen
is.
And the living room. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Stephanie's looking at it right now.
I am. I'm looking at it.
She's imagining herself.
Well, you know what the thing is about the rear living floor plan is they're so appealing visually. And you walk in and then mm-hmm. you realize, I have three kids. Mm-hmm. and you just kind of walk out of those rear living models.
Understood.
So one day I'll have a rear living with like a couch at the back with a big window and I'll be able to look out on a pretty scene. But for now, it's bunks all
we'll
the
way. We'll get there. As my grandfather would say, don't wish away the days of your life.
All right.
Well, Amy, thank you so much. We really appreciate that. It's great education for our listeners. Again, this is Amy Duthy, Senior Director of Product Development for J-Flight Travel Trailers. You can check all of these out at jayco.com.
And we'll link to the floor plans in the show notes so that if you want to see what we're talking about as we've been talking about it, you can go to the show notes for this episode.
And Amy, hopefully we see you at an RV show.
Yeah, I'll see you there.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We'll have you back soon. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, and a big thank you to Amy Duthy from Jayco for coming back on the show. I always love her on the show, Steph. She's great. She'll be back on again.
She's so helpful to pick her brain, too. I was talking to her about park models back in January at the Tampa show. Well, that's how long. I was like, Amy, what do you do? What's different about it? Like, that was back in January that we started to think.
She's a mover and shaker. She's a power player.
She is, and she's a woman in the industry, which
right.
is a big deal,
that's
you
right.
know? Changing the face of the industry.
Absolutely.
One Amy Duthy at a time.
One Amy Duthy. We have, over the 3 years of doing RVFTA, we have come to realize there are a lot of powerful women
yep.
in the RV industry. Absolutely. Okay, so now it's time for the RVFTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by the fine folks at Campgrounds of America.
All right, KOA wants you to know that you can save on camping and a lot of other products by becoming a member of the Value Cards Reward Program. You save 10% on every stay at a KOA, plus...
Which that makes it worth it right there.
Yeah, all you have to do is a teeny tiny bit of math. And if you stay, a certain amount of nights, boom, you yeah. paid for it with your discount.
I'd say if you're doing about 5 nights,
yes,
you're making your money back.
So plus you earn points that can be redeemed for future visits, which we do too. We show up. Jeremy's always very excited when he says, oh, I've got points to cash in.
Occasionally I call KOA and I there's like a hotline number you can call. I'd be like, how many points do I have?
That's a late night activity
yeah.
for you. All right. Now, but here's something that almost nobody may know. You can also get access to coupons online or via the KOA app, and you can save on retail, dining, entertainment.
Did you see in our Facebook
yes,
group somebody was like, OMG, I can't believe how many discounts I get with my value card. It's like off the hook.
And I was so excited because I was like, oh my gosh, we actually had that in our list of things to talk about with KOA. So I was like, that's really good timing because within the app, you can actually find coupons for the location that you are at.
Once you're inside the app, there's no reason to leave. Let's just put it that way. Just get right. comfortable.
No, so a lot of people like things like saving money, but of course, Jeremy is a little bit quirky, and his favorite part of being a member of the Value Cards World Program is his KOA directory.
Absolutely. Just getting that old-fashioned print directory every March is my favorite part, and you get that for free with your Value Cards Rewards yep. membership.
All right, so visit KOA.com or download the free app to start finding your perfect campground match today.
Okay, so in RVFTA news, we have a big save the date. We have been invited, Stephanie and I, to the grand opening of the Cabela's store in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's their first location in New Mexico. It's going to be a 70,000 square foot store, and we're going to be there for opening weekend as part of the entertainment.
I'll be juggling,
and Stephanie will be lighting campfires and making s'mores.
We'll
but look, any New Mexico listeners, come mm-hmm. on out to that grand opening, and we'll be there. We'd love to hang out and show you some of our favorite Cabela's camping gear.
September 23rd and 24th. All right.
Staying at a campground.
Yes,
so we're going to get a campground review out of it.
And a whole episode because we're going to go in a couple days early. We're going to do some stuff
do
in the
hiking.
Area. It'll be fun. Yeah. We'll have a good time there.
No kids, hands free.
Nope. Exactly. So I just want to say about this store, there's going to be a lot of the same features that people really love about other Cabela's stores, like the wildlife displays and the archery room and the bargain cave, of course. But in the press release for this event, they also emphasize that they're doing a new type of layout that really focuses on like seasonal changes in outdoor activities and regionally specific gear. So Cabela's is like, okay, we recognize that people that shop at our stores all over the country are shopping for different things depending on that region and what people are into. And they're really trying to make their stores, you know, not like cookie cutter, but rather represent what the people in the region are
interested
in. Well,
and for instance, the fine folks at Cabela's told us, like, this is a huge region for camping.
Which is one of the reasons they wanted us to come.
This is a huge region mm-hmm. for spending time in the great outdoors.
Right, and their store is going to reflect that. So we kind of thought that was cool that they're really trying to pay attention to the personality and the outdoors, like sort of culture of a certain area. So it should be fun if you are in that area. Stop by, say hey.
Next item in the RVFTA News Roundup, stay tuned next week because next week begins our coverage of our Pacific Northwest adventure. We are going to have something like a month straight of coverage of all the campgrounds, all the national parks, all the hiking, all the food from our huge Pacific Northwest trip. And it's going to be terrific. I can't wait to start putting it all together.
Yep, it's going to be great. So definitely tune in next week. And then hopefully you enjoyed following along on the social media as we were out there, covering the whole event. But now you're going to get all of our recommendations, right? We kind of try to lay it all out nice in these trip planners. And for some people, that's one of their favorite things, to get these trip planners that inspire them to book vacations, RV vacations for next year. So we're excited to put those together.
And also thank you to all our listeners out in the Pacific Northwest who were excited for us to come out and cover the region. It's a dream trip for us for sure.
All right. So we will see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.